7th Avenue Pizza, the official pizza of the Soda Pod.
The Soda Pod, the official beer and hockey podcast of 7th Avenue Pizza.
Today on the Soda Pod, we're going to jump into a quick hoppy hour. I got one beer to run down here that I had over the weekend. Then we'll dive into some Minnesota sports, the entire sports scene rundown with, you know, a highlight on the Minnesota Wild, as what a comeback it was on Saturday. We'll dive into that as well as some quick takeaways from Sunday's Islanders game to wrap up the show. All that and more in episode 224 of the Soda Pod. Let's go. Wildwoods of Vancouver Island. Welcome to the Soda Pod. Isha Jerome here alongside Ross Brendel filling in for the state of hoppy today as he's out hunting. Thank you for joining us wherever and whenever you are listening. Ross, how's it going, my man?
You know, it's going great. I can confirm to you the only thing I will ever hunt is something that's already dead in my freezer. So that will never be an issue with me. Props to all the people who do hunt. That's just not me. So good for hoppy.
Minnesota boy who doesn't hunt. That's surprising. I'm not going to let from a Canadian perspective. That's a little surprising.
I occasionally fish. That's about it.
That counts. That counts, man. Okay.
Well, here's the crazy
it's
thing.
Hunting
too.
With a hook, not a bullet.
I'm classic Minnesotan too. I will ice fish more than I will actually fish in the summer.
Oh, that's
just because
beautiful.
I mean, what else do you do in the winter besides play hockey, watch hockey, and commiserate about Minnesota sports?
Yeah, no, fair enough. I can't wait for I'm a fly fisherman, so it's not cold enough where I am to do ice fishing, though I absolutely love it and used to do it when I lived in northern BC. Hopefully when I make it to Minnesota in the wintertime, full disclosure, I'm coming out in April. I'll give more background on that as we plan out. I'm coming to visit Ross for 2 weeks, a big 2 week stretch. So we're going to try to, here on the Soda Pod, get some events going and pretty much just celebrate my arrival to Minnesota. It's going to be my birthday while I'm there too. So excited to come visit in the spring. More on that later. But hopefully the next year I can come out during the winter for like Hockey Day Minnesota and all that great stuff. The ice fishing and really experience a Minnesota winter.
Well, there's a couple ways to look at this. You could wait until June instead of coming out in April. You could wait until June. I'll put an extra lawn chair down on Kellogg for you for the Minnesota Wild Stanley Cup Parade.
Oh, look at that.
Or we could get you here for that state high school hockey tournament like you want to be here for at some point. So it's up to you, my man.
Look, I'm just going to have to move there eventually if I want to hit all these great events. But put it this way, I'm coming out in April. Just it's signed, sealed, delivered. That's going to happen. And if the Wild win the Stanley Cup, I'll be back. We'll just, like, you've heard it here first. Ross can hold me to it. I'll be back. There's no way I'm missing that parade after covering this team for 2+ years.
Well, I'm hopeful too that parade, I always joke that it will be on Kellogg. That makes the most sense. But also the beauty of the Minnesota Wild playing in St. Paul, I think they can just close down 94 and the parade can literally start in St. Paul, go to Minneapolis, then turn around and come back and end in St. Paul.
Ooh.
I think you got to do it that way.
I like that. We got to have a whole like segment just like, and we won't do it because we don't want to jinx it. This is Minnesota sports, right? Until it happens, until they've won the game, you know, then like right after the whistle, the ending horn, then we can be like, okay, let's plan out the route and we'll bring you back on for that for sure, Ross.
Perfect.
Shout out to our partners at 7th Avenue Pizza and Northland Vodka. Really excited to be partners with those two great companies. If you missed our new regular weekly segment, however you slice it on the Soda Pod's YouTube channel, go check that out. Link in the description and on Twitter and on Facebook on how you can interact with us on that segment. We basically have an interactive poll question for you to dive into every week based on that segment. However you slice it, check us out on YouTube and more on that as the weeks progress. And check out our interview with Mark Parrish of Northland Vodka, former NHL player, obviously Minnesota beauty, Bally Sports and NHL commentator, the whole nine yards, WHL stud. yeah, I had to throw that in there, Ross. Check out the interview. It's on YouTube. It will hit the podcast probably in a week or two, but if you want to check it out first before it hits the podcast, go check out the full interview on YouTube. Last quick housekeeping note here. Every Friday, MNCAA, what an outstanding weekend of Minnesota college hockey. I know Mankato, they didn't have the performance that that I know our boy Alex wanted them to have, but the Huskies, man, they're a wagon, St. Cloud, this year. So excited to keep more tabs on them as well as the Gophers. Bemidji, my team that I am now, I'm going all in on Bemidji. They are my Minnesota College D1 team. Exciting weekend all around and exciting weeks to come in Minnesota college hockey. So again, every Friday, MNCAA Hoppy makes the rounds with all the schools, all the games coming up, and it's a great podcast on the Soda Pod feed. Brewery Travels podcast, subscribe wherever you get your podcast from, as well as every Tuesday on the Soda Pod feed, Judd's Buds with your boy Spokes Z, running down all Minnesota Wild prospects, Iowa Wild, and some takes on the Minnesota Wild as well. You can hit us up on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube at the Soda Pod. And the Hockey Podcast Network and the Soda Pod are proudly powered by DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code THPN upon sign up for a bonus. And if you're a regular user, plug that promo code in for a weekly deal. Gotta say, playing daily fantasy last night watching UFC, walked away on top. It was a great card. I know Hoppy gave me strict instructions, Ross. Just because I'm not there doesn't mean you can just run wild for UFC talk or MMA for 10 minutes. So that's all I'll say on it. Usman's the GOAT. We'll move on into the Hoppy Hour here, the next segment presented by the Hockey Podcast Network.
First, I'd like to propose a toast to UMD goaltender Alex Stalock. To Stalock!
To Stalock!
I love that stuff. Been drinking it for years. You know, I heard they recently decided to add more hops to it.
You're all hopped out?
All right, Ross, I know I didn't give you the heads up. You're like, bring a beer. I didn't know what you were doing. Look at you. Before we dive into what I just finished drinking, watching a little bit of the Vikings game, which, oh God, I'm not even a huge Vikings fan, and that hurt. But what do you have on tap here today, sir?
This is a Liftbridge Farm Girl. It's the final Farm Girl I have in the fridge, and it's, you know, it's a school night, so I got to be respectable, and I got a lot of work to get done this week. So trying to stay light, but also have something good. So Liftbridge Farm Girls is what I am drinking.
Love our friends at Liftbridge. Awesome there. Again, it's empty. I just polished it off. I'm in the similar boat. Right after this, I got a 3.5-hour watch-along live stream on our YouTube channel, the Hockey Podcast Network. So I got to stay somewhat level-headed. This is a Russell Brewing Co. Strawberry and Kiwi Milkshake IPA. So a lot going on here. And I'm not into the cream ales too much per se. Obviously, it's different here being a milkshake-based IPA. It's thick, but it's not as, quote-unquote, creamy as I thought it would be. It's like, put it this way, you can taste the flavor so well, and it tastes more like a traditional IPA than a big, like, smoothie. So I was pleasantly surprised of how, like, it was sweet. Don't get me wrong. You could really taste the kiwi and strawberry, but it wasn't overbearing. You still got the hoppiness that you want to get from an IPA. So wanted to pump these guys' tires there at Russell Brewing Co. here on Vancouver Island, as the can art's great. And this was a very pleasantly surprising beer that I tried.
Would that taste fairly light, even though it's a milkshake based on those flavors? Or is it a bit of a, I know you said it was thick, but does it still have a bit of a light feel?
It's kind of in the middle, like a hazy IPA would be. You know, okay. How it's like a little bit thicker, and it's not as easy as just like downing a traditional IPA or even like a Pilsner, but it wasn't like milky, creamy. I don't know how to describe it. Yeah. But yeah, it wasn't a smoothie. It was very much an IPA, which is what I liked. What did it come in at ABV? 5.5%. So nothing too crazy there either. But shout out to my buddy Shane on our last watch along and live stream. I was kind of playfully ripping on my buddy Shane, who brings me beers literally to give him a shout out on the Soda Pod. I haven't seen him for a couple weeks. He came in to watch some UFC with me yesterday and brought me some beers. So shout out to you, Shane. I really appreciate it. Two great beers on tap, two great breweries on tap here in this segment.
So here's one for you, if you don't mind. I'm gonna let you talk some MMA because there was some happenings last night. Okay. I knew that. I know enough to know something was going on. Okay, let's rewind a decade. I used to be a fairly big boxing guy.
Okay.
And I really am not anymore. Hey, just
Canelo had a great win last night, though. That Mexican beast. But anyways, yes,
but, continue. Well, there's just not many, and I like the heavyweights, and there's just there's just not many premier heavyweights, right? And I've never gotten into MMA. So you have a 30-second elevator pitch as to why I should no longer be the majority and join what seemingly is the majority and partake in watching some MMA. Why?
So I'll put it this way, and I'll also frame it and spin it, you know, since you were a boxing fan, and obviously if you're going to make the transition to MMA and watch it, you want to see some striking. You don't want to see guys just like lay on each other and
yes,
score points as if you're watching a wrestling match. Now, 10 years ago, even maybe even 20 years ago, the UFC was very much branded on putting style against style. Even in the early days, like UFC 20 to even, I would argue, 100, it was very much put the guy who's well-rounded, but put the wrestler against the striker, put the jiu-jitsu guy against the judo guy, etc. Where now the sport of mixed martial arts is that, and a whole generation has come out since since 1993, when Hoist Gracie won that crazy just style versus style, no round, loose rule tournament. It's evolved, and there's been generations of people coming out who've just trained in mixed martial arts. So whether they have a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu or a background in boxing doesn't really matter anymore. To compete in Bellator, UFC, any of the big promotions, shit, even Cage Warriors out in UK, you have to be well-rounded. So now the sport is something unique where you go in there and say the two fighters have a rhythm in striking. For the most part, they're going to stay standing up. And if they do go for the takedown, a lot of the referees and just the promotion now itself, they'll stand people up quickly if there's nothing moving or if nothing's happening there. You can't just lay on someone Tito Ortiz style and have body shots and just score points. Though, the point system, like boxing, is still, it's not perfect. Dana White says, don't leave it in the hands of the judges then. Go for the submission. Go for the crazy ground and pound TKO or go for the striking. I think to convince you to try to take the step into MMA is, you're going to see more diverse striking than you're ever going to see in boxing. And I don't want to take anything away from boxing because it is the best striking sport. But the amount of kickboxers, Muay Thai guys who have that boxing background too, brought to MMA. I mean, some of the fights are insane. And I'll give an example because last night, the first fight on the card was basically thrown back to gladiator times. And there were two wrestlers turned boxers who just stood on their feet the entire fight. It was unbelievable. But I'll go a couple numbers back where Alex Volkanovski took on Brian Ortega. Brian Ortega, one of the most badass guys who can stand up with the best of them, yet he is one of the most feared jiu-jitsu guys. So what's cool about watching that fight, Ross, is like this guy can stand up with the best boxers and strikers in the UFC, yet if he starts to overwhelm them or he's not going down, like if he's just taking shots and they can't knock him out and they, panic and try to get points with a takedown, this guy's going to get you in a submission. And that's what happened in that fight. But credit to Alexander Volkanovski. Those whole body went pink and he had no blood supply to that brain. He survived a guillotine and a triangle choke to get out and pummel Brian Ortega to actually get the win in a 5-round match. So anything can happen. And if you want to see elite striking, if you want to see jiu-jitsu like you can never see in no-gi or gi competitions, and if you want to see Muay Thai striking, last night we saw a head kick right to the face that took out Frankie Edgar with 30 seconds left in the match. I think MMA is just the more exciting sport to watch.
So at the end of the day, you're telling me today versus maybe going back to 2010 or 2005,
it's
maybe
better than it's ever been today.
Okay, but not only is it better, has it become more of it? Is it more refined and tactical versus just barbaric and two dudes bar fighting on the ground?
Yes, and that's again, my first love was martial arts. I trained in like Shaolin Kung Fu even before I started watching hockey. So for me, I'm a little bit of a nerd in that point where like I can look at a fighter and be like, holy shit, look at that technique. Like Valentina Shevchenko, she's the, the flyweight champion right now at 125 pounds in the women's division. I've never, like, in my opinion, she's the best mixed martial artist I've ever seen. I've never seen someone, throw John Jones, Anderson Silva, George St. Pierre. I've never seen someone with that perfect tactical and unique precision and style. So to answer your question, yes, the champions these days, more so than anyone, are that polished. And Russ, last weekend there was a guy who's 5-0 in the UFC, and he has won more fights in the UFC than he has strikes against. Like, he's a stone cold killer. I talked about this on the last podcast. He ran to the 11th ranked fighter in his division, picked him up, looked at Dana White, noticed Dana was on his phone, and yelled, "Get off your fucking phone, Dana. Watch me. I kill everybody. I run this division." Slammed the guy on the ground, choked him out. Like, the talent and just, I don't know. The martial arts is on another level right now in all areas. And that's what's beautiful about it, in my opinion.
You know, very similar to me going back last Sunday when Ziggy Wilf was on his phone and the Vikings were getting run by Cooper Rush. I was like, "Ziggy, get off your bleeping phone. Go fire somebody."
Yeah, man. I highly recommend watching the UFC. Hey, if you want to borrow my Fight Pass account and you want to, you know, you don't want to pay for it, but just want to dabble, you let me know. I'll do anything to bring more fans in the door.
I just, more importantly, need to be in the loop when you're here in April so we could meet up and have a beer.
Oh, buddy, yeah. And I'm sure there's going to be an event when I'm there, too. So, I mean, pay-per-view's on me. Okay, Hoppy's going to kill me. But, Hoppy, this is Ross's fault, so blame him.
It's my fault. I brought it on. But I honestly wanted to know because it was fortuitous that we would be doing this today. And I know last night was a big night based off of what I was seeing in the Twitter sphere. So take it away. You lead me where you want to go.
All right. Well, on the other side, let's dive into some Minnesota sports here. And I can't wait, by the way. I want to preface this. Like, the next UFC fighter on a big card from Minnesota, you better believe I'm going to milk the shit out of that on this podcast. But until then, let's dive into some Minnesota Wild and Minnesota sports talk here on episode 224 of the Soda Pod. Now, Ross, Wild have a big win, a wild win, some might say, over the Pittsburgh Penguins. Or Alexis from the Bar Down Beauties podcast predicted Kirill Kaprizov with the hat trick. Instead, Kapanen, wrong player beginning with the letter K, gets the hattie for the Penguins. The Wild score first, but trail 4-2 at one point. It didn't look good for the Minnesota Wild. Yet they come back, tie it up, force a shootout where Bjugstad gets the game winner with some beautiful, beautiful moves. I heard on the post-game show on KFan that he actually, you know, he got a lot of reps in Florida doing that, so he wasn't surprised that Diener actually called his name for that. Talbot was unreal with saves on Zucker and Marino late in that game, too. Absolutely elite. What are some of your takeaways? And you can bounce off of some of the points I just brought up, Russ, or you can steer the ship in a different direction. But overall, I mean, I want to hear your thoughts on that game.
Well, first off, there's something sweet and poetic about Bjugstad being able to get the game winner in that shootout against his former team where, you know, again, all things being equal and looking back at his history there, it probably didn't go nearly as well as he had wanted it to. So good for him, I think, to be able to do that. And more importantly, good for the Minnesota Wild to continue to rack up wins and points here at the beginning of the season. I continue to look at what's happening, not only in that game, Isha, but the first 10 games of the year as, you know, I'm trying to take like the 50,000 foot view, look at it long-term and sustainability. So the positive side, I look at it as my voice cracks there, thanks to the lift bridge. You know, the positive side, you look at it and say, this is great. This team, you know, the cardiac kids never say die. They always come back. They always keep fighting. And more often than not this year, it's work. That's why they're 7-3 after 10 games. I love that. I appreciate that. The other side to me says, can you realistically do that game in and game out and get away with it? At some point, you need to start consistently playing with a lead on occasion. And I think that would greatly benefit this team. However, as the season goes on, I think it speaks, well, it's something to be said about the character of the team, but I think it will always let them know, hey, it's 3-1 at the start of the third period. It's 4-2 at the start of the third period. It's 2-1 with a minute and a half left. We've already seen them score some last second goals. I mean, literally buzzer beating goals in the NHL and even college hockey. How often do you see that? They've already done it. So I think it's good for them to have that confidence. I also think good and bad. I think it's good to be playing well, accumulating wins and points when Kaprizov isn't putting a lot of pucks in the back of the net. However, again, at some point, he probably needs to have a little less assists and more pucks in the back of the net. But again, good with bad. You're still 7-3 playing that way. So that to me, that's a really good sign. And even today, I was laughing. You probably know, but off the top of your head, do you know who leads the Wild in plus minus currently?
I mean, my heart wants to tell me Victor Rask.
From what I'm staring at right here, it's your guy, Ryan Hartman.
Attaboy. Well, he's the Wild MVP. And Hoppy and I said that last week on our show, and now it's circling around Twitter because
Ryan Hartman.
Pat Micheletti. Pat Micheletti tweeted it, and everyone, you know, credit where credit is due. Pat's a beauty. But I mean, it was said on the Soda Pod first. I just want to make that very clear. But no, he is the MVP of this team right now. I mean, he's playing his role and above to a T. I mean, he's putting the Wild on his back.
And it's a Bill Guerin guy too. And I think that is what makes it better as this roster still continues to take shape under Bill Guerin. There's still, I think, ideally any roster, there's work to be done. But from the roster that Bill Guerin inherited, I still think there's a little bit more work that he would like to do. But that's still going to take a year or two when you factor in the buyouts with Parisi and Suter and money on the books and being, you know, contractually bound to certain dollars and figures and players. But
yeah, well, and what prospects can come up and down who's proving themselves, right? It's still unknown.
And then also on that too, when you talk about prospects, I continue to think at some point, you know, whether it's in the near future, middle of the season, down the road at the end of the season, I think Marco Rossi is going to play an important role on this team. I they're going to want to get him involved. They don't want him to, you know, waste away, not with the big club and not getting opportunities, especially with where he was taken. And you still feel bad the lost year last year, but yes, you don't know who's going to show through. And this is the one thing that happens in sports all the time, Ishii. You know this as well as I do. Who we think might come up and have an impact probably might not. And who we're not expecting might be the one that ends up coming up and making a pretty big impact on this team. So I think that that's something that we're going to have to look and see is, as the season unfolds, who is it? What is the role? And again, now here I'm going to make one more jump. I still think Bill's got a move in his pocket. You know, I know you guys talked about this, but you know, Eichel said at one point he thought he was going to be traded to Minnesota.
Yeah.
So apparently, I wouldn't even say apparently, that would lead you to believe the Wild were at least, I don't know, fairly down the road in having discussions. If he thought that, obviously he was getting good intel and to a degree was probably involved with his agent. So if the Wild are going to have discussions about bringing in somebody like Jack Eichel, they're going to have discussions about bringing in other impact players, especially if this team remains in the mix to win the division and perhaps go on a big playoff run. So to your point, yes, it's what prospects are going to come and help along the way, because the depth of any team is going to be tested, but also what moves are going to be made, if any. Not saying moves will be made, but I anticipate that Bill's got something he wants to try and get done.
Yeah, and you hit on a lot of what I wanted to bring up, so that's great. Well, just quickly, I just want to touch on the Eichel thing, and that it's crazy that he thought, as well as we did at one point in the summer, that we were pretty far along and that we may see him in a Minnesota Wild jersey. And seeing what the Vegas paid for him, essentially,
yeah,
I think the Wild could have 100% stomached a similar deal of value. From what we heard was being offered, like it was like two more elite pieces, you know, and like either a first round pick or another prospect or player. So I'm interested to see if what the Wild offered leaks out a little bit. I know maybe we'll never get the exact answer, but I'm curious to see if like Michael Russo touches on that. But yeah, I mean, close, but no dice, the Minnesota way. One thing I did want to continue to talk about a little bit more was, and you touched on it a little bit respectively, was the concern over Kirill Kaprizov. Now, despite the lack of scoring goals, like you mentioned, he's still point per game on the season. Who do you think is the bigger concern? Not with their play, you know, personally, but as far as helping this team win games, Fiala or Kaprizov?
Well, first off, I'm going to butcher Kaprizov until the day I die, thanks to being told it was Kaprizov for years. And I had finally gotten myself to Kaprizov, and now I think I'm back to Kaprizov. So I'm just going to call him Special K. you know, that's a really tough one because I mean, this goes back to a discussion we had the last time I joined the Soda Pod, and it was yourself and Hoppy. I think there's always going to be a little bit of concern with Kevin Fiala based on how he performed and perhaps underperformed before he got to the Minnesota Wild. So I think you're always going to think, ah, crap, are we reverting back to that Kevin Fiala? I don't know. Like, I think it's easy to make fun of the fact that Kaprizov only has a few goals, but I still think it's so early in the season to make huge judgments on anybody's play individually. I think it's easier to make judgments on a team as a whole than it is as individuals. But I would say this, though. If the Minnesota Wild are ever going to go on a deep Stanley Cup playoff run and win the Stanley Cup, it's going to be because Special K takes them there and Fiala's doing his part. I don't think the Minnesota Wild are ever going to win a Stanley Cup if Special K disappears.
Yeah.
I think they can do it if Fiala disappears. If Kaprizov disappears, I think that would be troublesome. So I would say the one to worry about more would be Kirill, but I'm not worried at all. I mean, it's an 82 game season. We've played what, an eighth of the season? I'm not worried. And again, like you said, point per game, he still is distributing the puck well. He's getting up and down the ice. He's getting opportunities. I'm not worried. And I think that, again, I think since Kevin Fiala got to the Minnesota Wild, he's been a different player. And I expect to continue to see the Kevin Fiala Minnesota Wild player and not the one that played for Nashville. So, again, I'm not horribly concerned. But I think long term, if you had to choose one to be more concerned about, it would be Kirill.
Yeah, no, great points there. Agree wholeheartedly on the Fiala front. And we say it all the time. Give him some real top six line mates and then see what happens. So the Islanders, that's who they're hosting tonight at the time of this recording. I'm going to wrap up the game at the end of the podcast later with some of my, well, takeaways. But before we get into that, I mean, do you have any predictions? It is the game where Zach Parise comes back to the XL Energy Center. The Wild quickly stop at home after their, well, to have a back-to-back game in the NHL, hosting the New York Islanders again, hosting Zach Parise and welcoming him back home. Anything that you're looking forward to this game? Any notes on it?
Well, one, I think the crowd reaction, I think, will be pretty darn good, and I do think it should be. Obviously, the Zach Parise Ryan Suter contracts didn't live up to what everybody thought they would. I know, I think I've told you this before, when they signed those two guys, you know, classic Minnesota sports, I let myself believe, I basically said, oh man, the odds of them winning a Stanley Cup in the next 5 years is incredibly good. I mean, I would have on that day, I said the odds they win a Stanley Cup in the next 5 years is probably 30-40%, and it just never really got to that point. However,
they had a good run, President's Trophy, you know, all that nine yards.
Yeah, I mean, and it was what it was. Zach, pretty good community guy. I know, you know, what was happening in the locker room, nobody will truly ever know, but pretty good guy in the community. Minnesota kid, obviously ingrained in the state of Minnesota and the state of hockey. So I expect him to be well received. I do expect there to be like a 13.5 minute welcome back tribute video. Shout out to Judd Zolgad. I know he'll absolutely hate that, but it's 100%. It's 100% going to happen.
He's going to be rolling his eyes throughout the entire thing, especially when they do it for Suter. They like Suter might even ask them just not to. He might just not be like, no, fuck you guys. I don't want this.
But it's for the fans. It's not. Yeah. And that's what I would say too. They do these things for the fans, the front office. If it was up to them, if it was up to Bill Guerin, and if it was up to to Leopold and the real decision makers, they wouldn't do these things at all. But it's all, you know, for lack of a better way of putting it, Isha, it's all about placating the fan base, is what it is.
Exactly, except if you're Edmonton, because I remember they threw one for freaking Nail Yakupov when he came back, like, playing with the St. Louis Blues, and that I thought was hilarious. Like, what the hell did this guy do for your franchise other than that, like, knee-sliding goal in the shortened season in his rookie year? Like, that's it.
what was the one a few years ago, I don't remember what it was, were we celebrating a game played, an amount of games played for Matt Cook, and we basically treated him like he was Gordie Howe with what they were doing for him. I think that might have been games played, and it was this is a little ridiculous for what we're doing for Matt Cook.
But I'm sorry, Matt Cook does not deserve any sort of celebration.
Yeah, you hate him, right? You hate him.
Well, I'm a Canucks fan too, and I think he's a piece of garbage. Like, again, credit where credit's due. He made the NHL, blah, 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 blah. But, like, I can't imagine that guy's a nice person.
My only real take on the game, I'm a firm believer, and this is so hard to do. I really just hope any home game you play, you escape with a point. Doesn't matter who you play.
Of course.
Get it. Preferably the win, but if you can just get a point when you're at home, that's all I ever really want to see. And you have some great momentum coming off the game against Pittsburgh, so carry that over, pick up a point or two, and I'll be happy.
Yeah, I mean, the Wild looked a little sluggish against Nashville coming off their last back-to-back game. Nashville, respectively, was coming off a back-to-back as well, or going into that game playing again the previous night as well. And the Nashville Predators absolutely spanked the Wild, especially in the first period. So the Wild need to come out foot on the gas again. That game going on today, Sunday, the time of this recording. All you will be listening to this Monday, which is why I'm going to do a couple takeaways at the end of this podcast before signing off. Let's flip the page though. We got a few more minutes left with Ross here, and again, greatly appreciate you filling in for Hoppy this week. It's always a pleasure, my friend. Let's talk Vikings, because as I was prepping this, I wrote huge win today ... wait. Of course, it was a loss, blowing it to the Baltimore Ravens, 31-34. Again, I didn't watch the entirety of this game. I had it on radio as I was, you know, humming around, doing some chores and taking care of things this Sunday morning here on the West Coast, and then turned on the TV for the last few minutes. And by golly, I wasn't surprised, being that it is the Vikings and Minnesota sports, but I was like, come on, you couldn't give us this one this week, so... Thoughts on the games, and do you give Kirk Cousins a thumbs up or thumbs down in this one?
So it's the 2021 Vikings to a T. For the most part, they do everything they should to win a game and still end up losing the game. but there's just some glaring problems, and I don't even know how to address them. Overall, you know, Kirk Cousins has had a fine year, a really good year, maybe the best year of his career, and I still can't figure it out. But something's missing, and I don't know if that's exclusively on him, if it's all offensive coordinating. You know, I go back and just look at the game in overtime. I don't want to say gifted. Anthony Barr makes a great play to pick off Lamar Jackson, tips a pass to himself, intercepts it. The Vikings then go three and out by running a stupid swing pass, getting stuffed up the middle. And then the third down play is what it is. It's third and long, whatever. But the first two plays, to me, you know, just incredibly stupid. You have a chance to win a game you probably shouldn't after blowing a 14-point lead, and that's what ends up happening. It, to me, Isha, the problem's just bigger. This whole thing post Case Keenum, and again, I'm not putting this on Kirk Cousins, but he is still to this day now a 10-year NFL player, roughly, and he has a losing record as a starting quarterback in the NFL. And this thing, again, it's just not going anywhere. This team is always right around 500. They're never much more than a game or two better. They're never much worse than a game or two below. And they're stuck in football purgatory, mediocrity, terminal mediocrity, and it needs to change. And the only way that's going to change is with what I said earlier today, is either a full rebuild or at the very least a quick reboot. Because again, at 3-5, this team's not going anywhere. Even if they get to 9-8 and make the playoffs, they're not going to do anything. They're not going to win three road games. Come on. So something needs to change. I wish I could tell you I know what that is. I don't. But my gut tells me it needs to at least start with a new head coach. And this, again, this is not even trying to blame Kirk Cousins, but more than likely, if you're going to bring in a new head coach, you're probably looking at a new quarterback within a season or two as well. And Kirk's not getting any younger. He's 33. He'll be 34 next season. So that's a real roundabout way of answering what you just asked me, Isha. I'm just so apathetic when it comes to the Vikings, and I'm so in the middle on Kirk Cousins. I've said for years, you can win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins. I just think it's so much harder to when you're paying a pretty good quarterback an awful lot of money, and then you have to backfill your roster. And yeah. Cousins to me, if it's the same quarterback making $17 million a year versus a $35 million cap hit, then it's an entirely different ballgame, because then you have $18 million to go get another player or two to help the team. And right now his contract just doesn't allow you to do that. So I'm more disgusted about the Gopher football game yesterday. And I don't even want to talk about that, or I'll start drinking again. So,
look,
you know,
instead, let's quickly touch on the CFL since I have you here. Yes, fuck you, Hoppy. Yes. have to say, I'm pretty upset with my BC Lions. Only two wins on the season. They look atrocious. And unlike Kirk Cousins, like, they have arguably the best quarterback in the CFL in Mike Riley, or one of the best anyways. I know he's getting a little older. Last year was atrocious for the BC Lions. I mean, basically post Wally Buono, this team hasn't been able to have any sort of identity or get anything going. So talk about apathetic, man. I don't even want to like watch these games anymore, because they're getting like blown out. I mean, what was it? 45-0 to the Blue Bombers. And the week before, on October 1st, 30-9, like, they're getting absolutely crushed. They blew a lead to the Rough Riders on the in September. Like, it's just been bad, man. Now I know you, and as recently against Toronto, right, just on the 30th, they lost in overtime 29-31. So I know you keep tabs on the CFL. Yes. I mean, what are some quick storylines before we wrap things up here, Ross? Anything that you've been picking up on this unique CFL season?
Well, my adopted team, as you know, is the Blue Bombers, just because
you're loving this.
Yes, I basically claim them as Minnesota's team, because from door to door, I can be to Winnipeg, according to the Egan Department of Tourism, which, yes, does exist. I can be to Winnipeg in 7 hours if I don't stop. So that is the adopted team for me. I love this. It seems too good to be true that they could follow up winning the Grey Cup with this season where they're 11-1, and I believe, quick math, not 9 wins in a row.
It's nuts,
and it's fun to watch. And again, there's a Gopher connection with Drew Wolitarski, so that makes it a little bit easier to cheer for. But I don't know. Some of the highlights I've seen this year, I've watched good chunks of a fair amount of Blue Bombers games. That's about it, and some other games that get shown here locally in the Twin Cities. Man, I really wish ESPN will cover the CFL here. They do on occasion, and occasionally you'll see highlights. I wish they would cover it just a bit more, because I'm convinced some of the highlight packages I've seen this year are just the most nuts, insane highlights I've seen from games. And I don't know why that is. I don't know where that's coming
from.
The whole
season was canceled last year too, right? So a lot of guys are just like, they have something to prove, right?
Yes, I think that that's it. I think that that's 100% it. So no massive takeaways. It seems like it's the Blue Bombers' cup to lose, but I know the Argos are having a pretty nice season. And what was my other take? Oh my gosh. So I couldn't figure this out. Explain this to me. So I just pulled up the standings here, because I thought I had seen this, and I'm entirely lost here. How have the Elks only played 11 games?
I think it's COVID.
And the Red Blacks have played 13. Is it COVID?
I think COVID. They've had to reschedule a few things, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. I know they were supposed to host the Lions at 1.2, and I don't remember if the Lions actually, you know, got to Saskatchewan or not, but I know like some things are rescheduled. So I believe it's COVID. COVID complications there.
Okay. Also, the Elks 0-7 at home, but 2-2 on the road.
Hilarious.
Dear Lord. Ouch. What a home game.
I know. And by the way, I love the rebrand. You know, whether people are for or against or on the political side, whatever, I think they did an outstanding job there.
Well, Well, and you alerted me to that. I didn't even know that had happened prior to this year. I still can't stand him because it reminds me of the Green Bay Packers too much. Enough, so anybody but the Elks.
I mean, I'm Lions fan, so I'll jump on that train too. There you have it, Ross. An absolute pleasure. Before we let you go, plug away what you got going on, you know, in your sports world and with your show.
Sure. Yeah. Minnesota Sports Chat, available on Apple, Spotify, Podomen, wherever you get your podcasts. It's literally everywhere. Once a week, sometimes twice a week. I know this upcoming week, I'll talk with Daniel House from GophersGuru.com. We're doing a weekly hit as long as the Gopher football team is in the mix to win the Big Ten West. And despite their fiasco against the Illini, they are still in the mix. They still do control their own destiny somehow to win the Big Ten West. I'm not too optimistic, but we'll talk about that. Unfortunately, we'll talk about the Vikings to it and plenty of other great weekly guests as well. So Minnesota Sports Chat. And if you'd like a koozie, let me know. I can pop one in the mail for you. Where's this camera at? There it is.
Oh, man. I will take I'll take that in any letters you send me as well. It's a beautiful thing.
I'll get you one. Heck, I might, you know, just because it costs like $87 to ship to Canada, I'll hold on to yours personal handoff.
There you go. Thank you very much. This has been an absolute pleasure, Ross. I appreciate it. On the other side, a quick word from our sponsor, DraftKings. And then, well, the wrap-up of this Islanders and Minnesota Wild game here on episode 224 of the Soda Pod. NHL season is underway and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. If either team scores a goal! Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deft deflection. However, they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state or province, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. I played UFC this weekend on Daily Fantasy myself. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets. If either team scores a goal, again, if either team scores a goal, this week, one puck in the net nets you big wins with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Boom! As we go into the future, Marty McFly style, the Minnesota Wild 5-2. Brandon Duhaime, two goals, two empty net goals. I'm freaking out right now, ladies and gentlemen. After a horrible Vikings loss today on the NFL side, the Minnesota Wild back-to-back, coming back from the back-to-backs. Oh my God. They came back against Pittsburgh Penguins, which we talked about earlier with Ross. Thanks to Ross for joining us. But tonight, whew, if you can't hear from my voice, I'm doing my, you know, Errol Hawani impression by the sound of it, but holy crap, what a game. Quick takeaways from that game before, you know, I hang the skates here tonight, wrap things up, let you go here on the podcast. First period, I thought the Wild played a textbook Wild period. Outshot their opponents, kind of was feeling them out, looked dominant, but again, quantity over quality. I thought the Islanders played a very good game up until the third period. I thought the Wild and Islanders kind of had an even back and forth game in the first. The Islanders score 17 seconds left, making it a 1-0 game going into the second. Now the Minnesota Wild, they came back in the second, though. I think the Islanders overall won that period, if you want to say. They were more dominant overall. How about the Islanders power play, though? That was atrocious. Like, the Wild's penalty kill looked like a goddamn power play on that. So anyways, other than that, I thought the Islanders looked good until early, 5 minutes into the third period, Wild control. They held them to
three shots in that third period. I think it was like 18 to three shots. They held them to three shots in 15 minutes. And credit where credit's due. They got the two empty netters. Brandon Duham, the first goal. I mean, I don't know. Could you have given it to Bukestad there? It was off. I forget the Islanders player's name, but it was off his glove and then looked like it might have hit Bukestad. I don't care. Duham with the goal. And then, though Varlamov was completely out of position, Duham, oh my God, with the Wesley snipe. It was beautiful. I mean, Spoke Z and I were swooning. We are swooning all night. This kid is the real deal. He is Jordan Greenway's replacement. Oh, wow. What a game. What a day. And what a podcast. Again, big thanks to Ross for joining us earlier in the show. I'm buzzing, ladies and gentlemen. I'm buzzing. And I'm so hungry. Just got off a 3.5-hour live stream on the Hockey Podcast Network YouTube channel. We'll do more and more live streams from the Soda Pod channel. Hoppy wasn't here today. I don't want to take all the credit for that. Actually, I wanted more views. That's why I did it through the Hockey Podcast Network YouTube channel that has more subscribers. So subscribe to the Hockey Podcast Network YouTube channel. Drop a like. We had a guest, Isles Girl 3, YouTuber podcast, and Islanders Twitter personality. Go show her some love. She's a great podcast. And if you're an Islanders fan at all, great Islanders news and wrap-ups. Speaking of wrap-ups, that's it. That's the show. We're wrapping it up. Thank you to those tuning in on Google, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Folks, the best thing you do for us this week, any week, is to give us 5 stars on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. Go listen through our website, thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. And on your apps, please download the episodes before you listen, as it just helps our business. You can follow myself at VI Sports Talking. Follow the Soda Pod at the Soda Pod. You can follow Hoppy at State of Hoppy. I hope you caught something hunting, buddy. And you can follow the networks at Hockey Pod Net. Thanks to Ross. Thanks to Isles Girl 3 for joining me on that live stream. Thank you all for listening on this Monday episode of the Soda Pod. Hoppy will be back this week. Back Wednesday or Thursday? He'll be back on the podcast airways Wednesday or Thursdays, and for sure on Friday for MNCAA. Catch up, Brewery Travels, MNCAA, Judd's Buds, and of course, the Soda Pod. And with that, signing off, I'm Isha Jerome, joined by Ross Brendel today. This has been the Soda Pod, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. Don't fear, just drink some beer. Woo, let's go, Brandon Duham. Stay wild.